Welcome to the I Am Jen Wilson, the Healing Rebel podcast. I am very excited today to have Sam Haddie on, who on Instagram is the Hormone Goddess. And I have been following Sam's page for, I don't know how long, maybe a year or so. And anytime I see her posts, I just feel really nourished by them. And the essence and energy of it is just really wonderful for women who are on our hormonal journey and how to navigate that in a way that feels nourishing and healthy for us. So welcome to the podcast, Sam. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for inviting me and for that beautiful introduction as well. Thank you. That's really moved me.
Like your page moves me. Why don't
Thank
we
you.
not start off with you introducing yourself and give us a wee bit more of your background and why you do what it is you do.
Of course. So I do lots of different jobs, to be honest. I have ADHD, so I need to do lots of different things. But I think the one that's most relevant to this conversation today, I am a women's health and hormone coach. So I work one-to-one with women I like to empower them when it comes to their hormones, when it comes to their health as well, so they can advocate for themselves, they can understand their own journeys. So they can work with their hormones, so they can actually learn to love them and harness their superpowers, if you like. And I'm also I work in womb healing as well, and I'm currently training to be a womb priestess as well. So that's quite cool. I've just started that journey as well, which is exciting. I'm just trying that hat on. It sounds fun.
I definitely want to speak more about that during this call. What got you into this?
My own journey, I think, like so many coaches I know, like so many women that work in this space, it's my own journey. So I had a period of my life. Oh, I don't know. I'm trying to think when it was about 10 years ago, where literally everything crumbled, everything fell apart. My life was in absolute chaos, absolute turmoil. And then I continued along this journey, and it was a really stressful period. It lasted for about 5 years the whole time. And I had young children, and I was just constantly living in fight or flight, if you like. I was going through trauma after trauma, didn't have space to breathe. And then when everything stopped, and I did have space to process things, when I did have space to breathe and acknowledge all these things that had happened, my health completely crumbled. It fell apart. So I was suddenly dealing with my hair was falling out. I had gained, and it was when I look back at photos now, it was so thin, and especially around my face and everything like that. And it made me so self-conscious. I had really bad acne. I had incredibly painful and heavy periods. I couldn't leave the bathroom sometimes. They were so heavy. I would just flood. I gained weight that just wouldn't shift no matter what I did. So I tried all the diets, I tried all the movement, and nothing worked. And I developed a really large ovarian cyst. It's called a dermoid cyst. I don't know if you've heard of them, which is really freaky. They have their own teeth and hair and eyes and things like this. So I developed a dermoid cyst, which caused a lot of pain, and I had to have it removed via an operation. So all these little things, and I had an underactive thyroid, lots of things which I thought, because I'd worked in the health industry previously, because I knew about hormones, I just didn't think would happen to me again, if that makes sense. I went back and forth to doctors. I didn't find the doctors to be particularly helpful for me at that period of my life, so I had to kind of do this journey on my own. And what I came to realize was that it was all because of that stress, all because of that trauma, which I needed to work through for my body to feel safe again, so I could heal and get over these things. And I did, but because of that lack of support, because I didn't really know where to turn, and because it was so painful and so traumatic to go through these things on my own. I mean, I remember there were times where I literally would scream because I was so upset and so sad and so lonely, where I'd cry into the night, you know. Insomnia was another one of those symptoms. And I wanted to train in these things properly so that I could stand alongside other women and make them feel heard, if you like, so they knew that they weren't alone as well. Because I truly believe nearly every woman I speak to has been through similar things. Nearly every woman I speak to has had her story to tell and share about her hormones. And it's really difficult because our hormones affect so much. When they go wrong, they can really, really go wrong and affect everything and impact everything. And I think I just really wanted to be able to sit with other women, if you like, and help them to feel heard and to give them advice and support on how they can heal their hormones, but mainly just to be able to listen and understand. So yeah, sorry, I went off on a tangent there.
I love a tangent. Any regular listeners to these podcasts will know that sometimes the conversation where it needs to flow and the words that need to be said just to come out without.
I'm all for tangents as well, so that's good to know.
Combination that we've got going here. I think from my personal experience, and again speaking to women that I speak to and knowing some doctors as well, the female hormone cycle is not really understood as how impactful it is in overall health. And you'll know this yourself, and I've spoken about this on previous podcasts about how women weren't included in medical research until the 90s, and even now when they are included in medical research, it's not, the information's not isolated and yeah. looked at locally. It's still just a comparison of what we've included them.
And we're so different from men. We're so different from...
I studied sport and exercise science at university, and you know, we spoke about exercise profiling and periodization for an athlete or for the person that you were training's progress. Never at any time is the female hormone cycle taken into consideration. And I went back to uni as a mature student, so I was only there 12 years ago, so it wasn't that long ago where females were included in the research but not looked at. And at that time I had been on the pill from when I was about 16 or 17 right through until about 6 or 7 years ago. So I never had a cycle. I didn't know that there was these peaks and troughs in training for myself, because I just kept pushing. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, when I was working with some female clients who weren't on contraception, and they were like, oh, I'm really exhausted. And I didn't understand, because I never felt that way. And they'd be like, oh, I'm at this point in my period. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. So I feel a little bit lighter today, but I just didn't understand the impact because I was never taught it. It was never spoken about. Everything is that male led, let's go, here we go, here's the path that we go on, no consideration. And I know you speak about eating within your cycle and for your cycle, and I'm not sure if you talk about like doing exercise.
I do, yeah. I'm like you. I was on the pill for so long that I just wasn't even conscious of these things. I had no clue that you know, we ebb and flow, we really do. But I was on the pill, so I felt the same all month, every month. And yeah, it was an awakening, if you like, when I came off the pill. I don't know if you felt that as well. And suddenly my hormones were chaos because the pill had worsened all my symptoms that I went on the pill for. But suddenly I was feeling these different peaks and troughs, and, you know, and it was alien to me. And I didn't really know. Nobody had told me to expect these things. Nobody had ever told me that I would change throughout the month. So it was very, very new. But yeah, exercise is such a big one. I used to be like you. I used to just push myself to my limits all through the month. And now I'm like, no wonder I ended up with a thyroid problem, because I was always pushing, always doing, always busy, never slowing down, never resting. It's really hard because it's so ingrained in us, isn't it, to just push ourselves to our limits. And it's not necessarily the best way.
How society is built of, we work 9 to 5 Monday to Friday, and if you want to work less than that, then you are lazy.
I absolutely agree. It's difficult to be that, to stand your ground and to say no, especially if you've got a corporate job. I mean, I'm lucky, I work for myself. It's very different if you've got a corporate job. It's really hard to be able to do these things and to be able to nourish yourself and slow down when society values productivity so much. And you know, you can't just turn up at the office and say, I'm not working today, I've got my period, I don't feel like it. So it's hard, it's really hard.
Yeah, I think for me, one of the biggest realizations when I did come off the pill was the emotions that I felt throughout the month. I had been numb for 21 years, and if anybody had asked me about that, I would have just said that's just how I am, that's my personality. I didn't know that it was because of this tiny wee tablet that I was taking for 21 days a month that was the impact. One of the reasons that I came off the pill was I got diagnosed with Crohn's in March 2017, and when I started researching why did I have this, like what could possibly be causing it, the pill was one of the links of, mm-hmm. if you're on the pill, because it disrupts your gut microbes.
Yeah.
And obviously your hormones are so involved in the gut microbiome cycle, and if you've then got damaged microbes, they're not influencing the hormones in that cycle. And I said to my consultant, and he went, the research is very weak. And I was like, yeah, okay. So I came off it, like my intuition was screaming at me, come off the pill. So I was like, I'm going to listen to my body. I'm not going to listen to the doctor, because this is my body and I want my journey to be mine, not just medicated the way that they are going to tell me. Because like you, there's empowerment in taking control of your health, and all the things that I thought I was doing to be healthy. I was a fitness instructor, so I was teaching loads of spin classes and personal training in the gym, lifting weights and doing all these things. And then coming off the pill, realising I have a cycle, working with the cycle, working with my emotions, realising that go, 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 go was damaging, because that was driving inflammation as well. So there was this multifactorial, it's not just the pill, but the pill made me a certain way, which then created habits that...
Yeah, absolutely.
All the other issues. And although I was eating healthy, I wasn't nourishing my gut health, if that makes sense. I've followed a vegetarian based diet for a long time, so I was eating a lot of fibrous foods, but if the microbes are not there in the first place, then you're just sending food into nobody.
I was a vegan for a long time, and I had to stop being a vegan actually with my thyroid problems. But again, it was causing inflammation for a similar reason to what you just said. I was chronically bloated. It was just triggering inflammation, and my body couldn't cope with it at that time. So I completely relate to that. And the numbness, like you say as well, it's so right. That was my experience of the pill as well. I was just numb. Whereas now I feel that whole range of emotions through my cycles, good and bad. But actually, when that, you know, when that wild woman comes out in my luteal phase just before my period, whereas before I'd be like ashamed of that wild woman, now I'm like, yes, she's powerful. Yes, she's here. She's going to help me. And so it's a completely, it's like a reframe, I think.
Like in your hair, hold my glass while I deal with this situation. Don't mess with me in this week.
Yeah. I love my wild woman phase now, but it was not always the case. I used to be scared of her.
Because she's powerful, right? And we're not taught to be powerful.
No, we're taught to be, well, women generally, we're taught to be quiet, good girls, not be angry. We're taught anger in itself is an unhealthy emotion. And that was something I really, really have had to work on, to be able to vocalize my anger and learn that it's okay to have anger sometimes. It's okay. It's a normal emotion. It's an important emotion to have. Because like you, I was numb for so long. I didn't feel happiness, didn't feel sadness, didn't feel anything much. I was just numb. I think that was the pill, the trauma, everything. You know, but yes, now I welcome my wild woman phase. I'm about to enter into my wild woman phase, so I'm here for it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of reframing in this is one of the reasons that I had reached out to you, that other than your wonderful page, that I just really love everything that you share. A particular post that you had put up was about perimenopause being the metamorphosis into that power. And reclaiming the crone. So I had come across this principle, because I have Crohn's, I've been referred to Centre of Integrative Care through the NHS, which is amazing that I have access to this service, and it's amazing that this service is available into the NHS. And I had spoken to my gastroenterologist, and I was like, I'm in my mid-40s now, I'm probably in this perimenopause, heading towards that stage. How is that going to present itself when I'm living with a chronic inflammation condition? Like, is this going to be different for me? Is it going to be more challenging, less challenging? Like, what advice can you give me? Where can you point me? There was nothing. So I spoke to my doctor at Integrative Care, and I said to him, and he pointed me, he was like, I mean, there's a Menopause UK website, but they have a particular narrative that they follow, and was very diplomatic in his language for it. And he was like, but there's also this YouTube channel that I've been watching recently, called the Wild Women Traditions, and they talk about the three parts, the maiden to the mother to crone, and this phoenix rising from the ashes. And I'm like nearly falling off my chair seeing an NHS doctor.
I was about to say, how amazing is your doctor? What an amazing.
Gets me, like, I've had a couple of
incredible. And to actually go and research these things and listen and watch, that's just amazing. I'm all doctors, yeah, they should be like that. That's incredible. I'm glad you've had that experience.
Yeah, so was I, very grateful for that. So I started following this woman who does the Wise Women Traditions, and that's what she talks about. She was also, I was listening to her yesterday, and she was going off on one about the term perimenopause. She's like, we need to get rid of that. It's from when you start to experience this, it's all the menopause. You don't have pre-puberty or peri-puberty, you just have puberty. That's the same. And I was like, it's a wee bit semantics, and you're getting your knickers in a twist about a word. But I think in her experience, it was a man that had coined this term.
Yeah.
So she was just like, no, we need to reclaim our power and go and through that one. Because HRT for some women can be life-saving, but also it's a quick, you've got some symptoms, take that, go away.
Quick fix. It's similar to the pill. And again, the pill can be incredible for some women. I mean, but it's very much exploring. I am all for medication when it's needed, but I think it's really important that we're given that power, given that knowledge, so that we can explore other things first. And I'm a huge believer that trauma impacts our hormones a lot, an awful lot. And no pill will ever be able to help us cope with it or process those things. So again, it's just masking that, you know, your hormonal issues, they're a symptom, they're not that root. I'm completely for that. It's empowering women, I think, to see their hormones in a different light and to maybe just encourage them to try different things first before they reach for the HRT. And if they want to reach for HRT and it makes a difference, then that's amazing. But just explore things first and just arm yourselves with that knowledge and that power so you can make those powerful choices and feel really good with them as well.
Yeah. And something else that you said in that post was about society celebrating the maiden mostly, the mother, but never the crone.
No.
And I remember using the word crone in some context on my website, and I had asked a few friends to read it for me, and so many of them came back and went, I wouldn't use that word crone.
Yeah.
That's really negative. And I was like, yeah, but that's the point. Because you want
that visceral reaction. Yeah.
You're not allowed to be a crone, but actually the crones are the wise women, the crones are the teachers, the healers, the women who
badasses. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm completely with you. It's very similar. I think it's similar to the term witch, in that we have grown up thinking of witches as evil. And, you know, that typical Disney villain with the crooked nose, the warts on her face and things like that. And actually the reality of witches is incredibly different. And crone is very similar. So traditionally, wise women, those women who had been through and out the other side of menopause, they were put on pedestals, they were revered, they were sacred, they were worshipped, they were the leaders of their communities, you know, they were looked up to, because when people knew that they held that wisdom, people knew that they held that power. And that's very much what I see perimenopause as. It's that transition phase. So like you say, that metamorphosis. So you're coming from the maiden and the mother, but you have learned all those lessons. You've learned all those, but that valuable wisdom as you move through those phases. And as you come through perimenopause, it starts to speed up. Those lessons start to speed up. I don't know about you, but like the older I get, the more these lessons keep coming and keep hitting me. Yeah. And it just is paving the way for you to embrace the crone, to really enjoy that power. And wear that crown, if you like, because that's what it is. The crone is a crown. It's so you can step into your power, so you can help other women, support other women. Because again, that's how it used to be. The crone had learned all these things. She was full of all this wisdom, this knowledge, and she used it to empower others. She used it to help others. She used it to help her community. And it's a really, really beautiful thing. It's a really beautiful thing. But like you say, we live in a society that values the maiden, that values the mother, that values youth and beauty and sees those as a currency. And as soon as women reach a certain age, and very often the age where we are finding our power more, we're kind of cast aside. It's, oh, she's not youthful anymore. She's, you know, and we're almost ignored, if you like. Mm-hmm. But actually, it's when we're our most powerful we are, because we don't care as much. And I think that's it. That's, we don't care as much. So we're more dangerous. We're more to be feared, because we're not pleasing others. We're quite happy to just please ourselves. But when we start to take that word back and just say, no, the crone is just not a bad thing. She's a powerful thing. I think just being able to use that word for ourselves helps us to reclaim that power. And it's the same with the word witch. If we start to call ourselves witch, we start to take back that power. If we don't see it as a scary thing anymore, then it can't be used against us, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know how you have witnessed this, experienced this, maybe in relationships with other women or in yourself. It's transitioning from the maiden into mother towards crone, because that teacher that I was listening to yesterday, she talks about maidens only up to 15.
Yeah.
And then from then, like the early mother, and that's not to say that you have to go out and get pregnant at 15, 16, but that's when you sort of start stepping into that mothering role from 16. 44.
There's other archetypes as well, so that can slot in between there. So there can be the maiden and then the lover, if you like, and then the mother.
Yep.
And then I forget some of the others, but then it's the wild woman, my favorite one, and then it's the crone. So so we've got those typical archetypes, but there's ones that slot in. Does that make sense? In between. Sorry, I'm losing my voice a little bit. Let me just drink. I'm not used to talking so much. But there are that. So, but again, it is society values that maiden, that mother. When we are nurturing others, when we are caring for others, when we are pouring our energy into others, but when we bring that energy inwards and use that energy for ourselves, that's when, you know, well, people don't like it so much.
Do you see some women getting stuck? So there's some women I'm thinking of who are maybe in their mid to late 60s, but they're still very stuck in that maiden and that child. Like they haven't done any trauma healing, any kind of work, because they're of that generation where they maybe didn't do that and they don't have a support network. So you can see some of their behaviour, some of the way they act in the world of still being stuck in that maiden, and they've maybe never transitioned from maiden to mother, never mind from mother into crone.
Yeah.
What would your advice be when you see that, to be able to support somebody without pointing out, by the way, you know that you're stuck?
Yeah, I think it's being loving, isn't it? As loving as possible, because a lot of these things, it's fear-based, because, you know, when it's scary to heal yourself, it's scary to work through your trauma. It's really scary. I mean, I've gone through some really traumatic things and it's not easy to do. And I still, when things come up, bubble to the surface, it's like, oh, I can't go there. I do, but it's really overwhelming. It's really scary. So it's just being gentle and loving with yourself and just honoring where you are, because I think all of us, our bodies have gotten us to where we are as survival, if you like. So for me, I was always in my response to my trauma. I was in freeze mode for a long time. So that numbing kind of behavior, I didn't experience those emotions. I didn't process things. I just numbed. But again, it was done out of love. My body was holding, it was doing that for me because it loved me, because it wanted me to survive. So I think it's just recognizing that if you have these things and you would like to change, just honoring that, the ghost of the woman you used to be, I guess, just honoring her with love, because she survived those things, she got through those things, and she did what you needed her to do. You know, your body did what it needed to do. And if you would like to change, then just arm yourself with that support, arm yourself with people that you trust, people that you feel safe with. So it can be different for all of us. I mean, it might be therapy for some women. I have a therapist and she's absolutely incredible. She changed my life. But it could be somatic exercises for other people, for example, movement. It's a coach. It's different for all of us. It's find people that you trust, that you feel safe with, and you can just start to explore things with. I think when we do things too much at once, we can overwhelm ourselves and we go back into that fight or flight mode, or we go back into freeze mode. So it's just doing things gently, just starting to come out of your comfort zone, just little baby steps, I always say. It sounds really boring. It sounds really, really not very glamorous or exciting. I think those baby steps are the best way, because it's gentle, it's loving, it's nourishing. And that's what you want to do. But listen to podcasts, listen to women who are talking about that empowerment. Arm yourselves with that knowledge so that you know, because I think knowledge is a really important part of being empowered. The more you know, the more powerful you feel. So it's just doing these things, reading, listening to podcasts, finding those women that you when you hear them talk, you think that really resonates. And just, like I say, arm yourself with that knowledge, because that helps so much. Because we can't heal ourselves without that knowledge, I don't think. We can't heal ourselves if we don't know that there's another way. We can't heal ourselves if we don't know that we can come out the other side and thrive and embody all of this power, embody all of this wisdom, and just, like I say, be absolutely badass, because that is what the crone is. She is a badass. Yeah, so that's how I see it.
And I think the baby steps thing is really important, because I approached my healing journey with, here's a list of all the things that I need to fix. How do I do it now? How do I do it quickly? And I would try and do too many things at once. And like you say, I got really overwhelmed by it and then would get sick. And
yeah.
Things, my grand passed away and 2019, and that was the first time that I was experiencing grief in a way that I was trying to approach it with a healthy mindset. Yeah. When people died in the past in my family, I had either been drunk or I was young, and everybody around me was telling me not to cry in front of other people because it would upset them. So it was suppression. So I had learned from like the age of 10 that when you're sad, when there's grief happening, you just suppress it and get on with life. And then when my gran came around, I knew that that wasn't the right way. But it was quite unexpected. Although she was 90, it was quite unexpected that she had died because she was fine. And then she got a chest infection and then she was in hospital and she passed. It was like a 10-day window, so it was really quick. So I didn't have time to prepare for it. And in that grief, I'm trying to heal 30 years of grief while grieving, which is not wise to do. And I'm like, I need to fix this, I need to fix this. And then I ended up in a massive Crohn's flare. And then was like, my body was just going, stop. Like, just slow down, because I'm not going to let you keep going fast, because this is what you've always done in the past, because the body will tell you. Body says no. Slow you down and then just let it process. And that was the lesson that I learned from that very, very challenging lesson, was just, you just need to slow down and stop and allow the emotions to come through you rather than trying to control them and trying to make them be a certain way so that you can show up for other people. You need to show up for yourself.
What a beautiful lesson in a really difficult time. What a really beautiful lesson to be able to take from that. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe there's medicine in all our stories, there's medicine in all our journeys. And we all go through hard times, right? We all go through traumas. There's not a single one of us that is unscathed. We all go through grief. I mean, and grandparents, they're the most special people. Losing my grandparents was also like a pivotal moment for me. We all go through these things. But like you say, it's such a powerful thing when we allow ourselves to slow down and experience these emotions, because we get taught that from a young age that we're not meant to feel sad, that we're meant to be happy. And that's not true. We're meant to feel all of life's ebbs and flows. We're meant to ride with those waves. So we're not meant to always be happy. We're not meant to always be angry or sad either, but we are meant to experience those normal human emotions. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to get caught up in, I shouldn't feel this anger. I shouldn't feel this sadness. I shouldn't feel this numbness. I shouldn't feel this. But actually, what you're feeling is valid and it needs to work through you. It needs to process. And like you say, slowing down is the best way to do that, the best way to just sit with those. And sometimes sitting with your emotions is too much. You know, sometimes you cannot cope with those emotions on your own. And that's when it's important that you have people around you that you trust and that you can work through those things with, like a therapist or whoever that may be. But other times, sometimes you do need to just sit with those emotions and sit hand in hand with them and experience them. And it can be scary, it can be overwhelming, but it's also really powerful and really healing as well.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that you were able to slow down. I think when, like, my thyroid condition as well, it was very similar in that it was my body telling me to slow down. That was my medicine, if you like. My thyroid condition was basically my body telling me I had to stop, I had to slow down, I couldn't keep going how I was. There were probably lots of little red flags before that I'd missed because I was so busy, because I was always running around, but I'd ignored them, and then it turned into this thyroid problem. And thankfully I noticed that and I recognized that I needed to slow down. I think if I ignored that and carried on going and pushed through that as well, then it would have become something bigger. Again, our bodies love us, and fundamentally they want us to heal, they want us to be okay. And when we start to see these symptoms as well as our body's language, that's something I'm really passionate about, that our symptoms are our body's language, its way of communicating with us. It can be a huge shift and change. So all these symptoms you previously hated, you just think, okay, well, what are they trying to tell me? What are they trying to communicate with me? And I think that in itself is a big and empowering shift as well. You start to feel less helpless and more, okay, there's wisdom in this.
Yeah, and that's something that I teach people. Like, I teach a Love Your Lymph workshop, and it's about working with the lymphatic system.
That's amazing.
I talk about symptoms because, again, society doesn't want us to have symptoms. We have to suppress them with paracetamol, ibuprofen, cold and flu remedies, whatever, rather than people understanding that these symptoms that we're experiencing is your body saying, go and slow down because I'm dealing with stuff in here. But rather than that, society is like, just take a headache tablet or whatever and go on with it. So trying to encourage people that symptoms are not a bad thing, that symptoms are actually a really good thing, because they do get the body to slow down, because we've maybe ignored, like, quite often when you get a cold or when you're not, you get a headache or whatever, if you look back over the previous hours, the previous day, and look at your diet, what you've been up to, how much screen time you've had, how hydrated you are, all the basics, you could probably go, oh yeah, haven't been, I've overloaded with sugar, or I've been doing too much.
Yeah.
And then the body's gone, no, slow down, stop, pay attention.
But again, like, if we get colds and flu, we are meant to slow down, we are meant to rest. But you get medicine now which masks those symptoms so you can carry on being busy. And it sounds amazing at the time, but in hindsight, actually, you're ignoring those cues. You're ignoring your body. You're ignoring that need for rest. And what you really need to do is just love and nourish yourself. And it's okay. We all go through these times, don't we, where we do push ourselves too much, or we do ignore things. And, you know, I do things like, I've had a really hard few months, and I actually, for the first time in years, I had a horrific period last month. So I'm not immune to these things either, because I was just processing a lot, and it was my body's way of saying, slow down, you need to stop and just process these things. I think that's really important to recognize, isn't it? Because we're all in this journey together, and it doesn't matter how much I know about hormones. Sometimes things will happen and like hit me with a hammer. And I'm sure it's similar with you as well. But again, there's wisdom in those symptoms. There's wisdom in that. And also, I want to come to a Love Your Lymph workshop. That sounds amazing. I have to say that. I love learning about lymph. I'm such a geek about lymph.
Yeah, so important to our health. And I just, when you were saying that about doing too much, I have to check myself regularly, because my default is be busy. So when I feel well, the temptation is to fill my diary. So when I had a big flare last year, and I was in hospital and had to take time off work, which normally I would just have kept working, but just I'm teaching an online class, so it's not really working, but it is working. But I actually took a whole month. I was like messaging a class, and I'm like, I'm off, I've been signed off sick. And the way that I worded it was, I've been told to take this time off sick, so that it wasn't, but it was my decision, but I didn't want to admit that it was my decision. Such a strange thing. But I have to really check myself, because when I was coming back from not being well, I started with only my three classes a week. I was just like that hour a day, and then let myself rest and recover. And I'm now, it was only, so I went into hospital in March 22. It was only July this year that I would say I feel well, and that I could probably fill my, but I have set myself really strict boundaries of I'm only going to see clients and do that face-to-face contact time work on 3 days. And if on those 3 days I happen to not have anybody booked in, I use that as a sign from the universe that I have to rest and chill out and not just keep going. But that wee innate part of me inside is like, but you should be doing more. You're being lazy. I'm like, no, I'm not. And I'm reconditioning that internal voice of, I should be doing more. No, I don't want to. Because even my consultant said to me, he's like, are you back working full time? And I went, no, I work 3 days a week, and that's all I want to work. And he kind of was taken aback by it. And I was like, yeah. I'm okay with that. You need to get okay with that. Because I don't want to work until I'm absolutely exhausted and then have to spend 2 days recovering. Like, who wants to live in that life? Not me.
That was you taking back your power.
Yeah.
It's that word should, isn't it? I should do this. I should do that. I should. And actually, why should you? What feels good for you? What feels right for your body? I mean, after, like, I had my thyroid problems, I made that decision again to slow down, but to not work on Fridays. And that was, it was a huge change for me, because again, I'd gone from always filling my days, always being busy. And I would work a lot on the weekends as well. I think it's easy to do when you run your own business and, you know, if you just fill your day. So I'd work all day, every day, some weekends. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to be really strict. I don't work on weekends at all anymore. And I'm going to take Fridays off for myself. And sometimes on Thursday, I'm working till late so that I can take that Friday off. But it's so, such a big change. And it's so such a powerful change. I don't get any less done. I actually get more done, I think. But it was the best decision I've ever made. But in the back of my mind, I was like, people are going to think I'm lazy. People are going to think this. People are going to think that. And I had to just think, I don't actually care what people think. I need to do this, and I need this day to myself. My friends are always like, don't you just get tempted to clean the house on your day off? I'm like, no, no, I'm not going to sit there and clean my house. If I just want to sit and do nothing and laze about and watch Netflix, and that's what I'll do. If I want to meet my friends and have coffee and lunch or whatever, then I will do that. But yeah, I never thought I'd get to that point though, because it's not easy to do when you come from that place of always being busy doing, which for me was a trauma response. But also, I'd been brought up to think that I always have to be busy to be successful. It was my childhood. You always have to be busy. Why are you resting? Why are you relaxing? You know, that kind of thing. So it's hard to unpick those years of conditioning.
if you've got nothing to do, there's a washing to get put on or get hung. There's a this to be done, there's a that to be done. Don't sit on your backside and just do nothing. We are actually, that's exactly what we need to do more of. My brother is very good at resting and relaxing. He's like so laid back about everything. I'm going to teach me how to do that. And he's like, it's just who I am. I can't teach you what is just me.
I'd love to be like that. I'm not relaxed at all. I'm always thinking, always overthinking everything. I am that person.
Definitely.
Be like that.
Sorry?
What a gift to be like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Is that something else that I had implemented after 2020, because when we had that crazy time and I was working every day, and I was, by the end of the 2020, I was like, oh my God, I'm exhausted and I actually hate what I'm doing. So I started scheduling in a week off every 8 weeks, and I make sure that I take it and I go away. And the first year, 2021, every week I would be dead agitated, and it took me ages to wind down and relax, and I would only maybe just start to feel a bit wound down, and then I'd be back into work. And it took until this year for me to be able to take those down weeks, not feel guilty about it, and just switch off from day one. But it took time, it took practice, because you're conditioned to be in a particular way, and you're unconditioning or deconditioning those unhelpful, unuseful, switched on behaviours.
Yeah, it's really difficult. It's not easy to do at all. And I think I always say, like, when we use that cyclical living for women, it's a really powerful thing. So learning that there are phases of your cycle where it's better to rest, where you can push yourself a bit more, it helps you to do that, to do those things a little bit better, I think, because it is uncomfortable for a lot of women to say, you know what, I need to take this time for me. I'm going to do nothing today. So if that's really difficult, I think working with your cycle makes it a lot easier, because you understand your hormones and your body is telling you you can't do those things today. So I always say to women, if you do find it hard, work with your cycle at least, so you can be really, really productive and push yourself that bit more when you're ovulating or when you're building up to ovulation. But then at least honor that tiredness when you're on your period. Do something to honor that part of your cycle, and slow down, rest. When your hormones have dropped off, when your hormones are low, just let yourself rest. Let yourself slow down. Don't go to the gym. Don't push yourself with hits or whatever. Don't book up your diary. Don't fill yourself with socializing and, you know, this and that. Just slow down. Honor it. Go inwards. And I think that's a nice, easy way to do it, because I think the more we're talking about hormones, it makes it a little bit more okay. It's a softer way of doing it, I think, if you're starting to explore resting, it's an easier way to do it.
And I think for some people, having that education of, oh, that there's a reason for this.
Yeah.
So that they can rationalise it in their brain first can really help, because that is, it's, you know, as you said at the start, you know, knowledge is so important. Knowledge is important. So you can go, oh, actually, so if somebody is in a corporate job and they start working with their cycle, they know that there's certain weeks that they can have loads of meetings, and then that they want to deal with confrontation. And then the weeks that they don't want to have loads of meetings in, that they just want to be able to do whatever their tasks are and being able to
More mundane tasks, admin or writing reports or, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, definitely. And I get it, it's not always possible, because sometimes, you know, if you do have one of those kind of jobs, it's out of your control sometimes, isn't it? You have other people to answer to and things, but it's doing it where you can, isn't it? And it's honouring it wherever you can. And it becomes a superpower. And I think that was the most powerful change I think I made with my hormones, when I realised that actually I have 4 different personalities each month. I have 4 different skill sets each month. And that is an amazing thing. Like, it's really amazing, because, you know, when you actually harness that and use that, it's really powerful. I think I talk to a lot of women that think that they're not creative types and things like that. I'm like, you are. Work with your cycle and you'll find it so much easier. Mm-hmm. This is a phase of your cycle. You'll feel more creative. Just explore it and see what comes to you. Or, you know, if women struggle with public speaking or speaking, try it when you're ovulating, because you'll find it that bit easier. You'll feel that bit more confident. So it just helps you to push yourself a little bit more, because there's something you're feeling a bit more scared of or fearful of. Just think, well, when am I in my cycle most likely to be able to use this and work with it? It becomes a much more powerful thing. It's our superpower. It just changed everything when I started working with my hormones. It's such an amazing thing. And just recognize that, like I said, I love that wild woman phase, but I didn't always. So just recognize that, because we get our PMS or our anger before our periods, we get demonized for it, don't we? It's like, oh, she's due on a period. But actually, again, there's so much wisdom there. We don't just feel these things for no reason. Nothing happens for no reason. Nothing. No part of our human experiences, no part of our symptoms, they all happen for a reason. And it's, what is this telling me? What wisdom does this carry? And again, it's very similar for perimenopause. If you're experiencing those symptoms, if you're struggling with it, what is my body trying to tell me? It's, take that step back and ask yourself, what's my body trying to communicate with me? Do I need more love? Do I need more self-nourishment? Do perhaps I need to eat a little bit more, eat more nourishing foods? Do I need to slow down? Do I need more rest? Do I need more like community? You know, do I need to surround myself with people more? Do I need more love in that form? And it will be different for all of us. And only you really know that answer. But it's just allowing yourself, like I said, to take that step back when you're experiencing something. Sit with that feeling, sit with that pain. If pain is what you're feeling, what's your body trying to communicate? And I think it's such a powerful thing. It's like when I said I had a really painful period, my last period, and it was the first time I'd had period pain for years. So I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
My body was just trying to release stuff. My body was using that to release things that I hadn't been letting myself feel. So it's a really powerful thing. And when I came to, sorry, the bin's being collected from outside my house right now, so if you can hear like bins. when I could see that it was actually my body releasing things, actually I almost welcomed that pain, if you like. I'm able to embrace it, so it's working with it. And then, like I said, this, all those lessons we learn, it just paves that way for that perimenopause, for that postmenopause, where we can really like step into our power and wear our crown. We become the butterfly, if you like. We emerge from that chrysalis and we become the butterfly. We become that beautiful, powerful, radiant, wise woman, which is just an incredible thing. So those challenges of perimenopause, it's so you can wear that crown, if you like. It's so you can step into that power, though there are lessons in those symptoms again, so that your body is preparing you for that phase, it's preparing you for that journey, that new chapter. It's preparing you for the wise woman years. It's preparing you for the crone. Because if we haven't been through these things, if we haven't experienced these things, then we don't have that wisdom to share. Again, our stories and our journeys are medicine for others. So that's how I like to see it. It's when you are struggling, that becomes medicine one day. Not necessarily in that day, but one day.
I'm just going to pause you for 2 seconds. The Amazon man is like smashing my Let me just bring my train of thought back after the Amazon delivery interruption there. So we were talking about the beautiful power that the body gives us. So are you okay for a little bit more time? So I wanted to ask you about that, the womb healing.
Yeah, go for it.
So this year I was told I have endometriosis, and I don't have symptoms. I only learned 3 podcasts ago that I have a heavy bleed. And I had gone to the doctors because I had some pain in my pelvis. That pain, working with integrative care, that pain has now gone. And it took a year for gynecology to get round to giving me an appointment to speak to them. And when I spoke to the gynecologist, she's like going to send me for another MRI so they can get a full idea of what's going on. The only reason that they saw the endometriosis was there was because when I'd had a scan, an MRI on my bowel last year, they could see that there was some scarring on the uterus. And when I've been doing some research into the metaphysical side of what is endometriosis, there's a lot about womb healing, and I'm like, what is this womb healing? So I don't really know very much about it, because there's a couple of people that have spoken about it, and there's a couple of people that I've heard speak about it, and I'm like, I don't get it. It's not resonating with me at this time. So can you explain in your words how you see womb healing, and how like you could find that would be beneficial?
So if it doesn't resonate at the moment, first of all, that's okay. Again, sometimes it doesn't resonate for people, and it's not for everybody. And again, that's okay. We're all different. We all work with different things. And then for other women, you know, we've been taught forever, for our whole lives, most of us, that our wombs are something to ignore. So we ignore the pain, we suppress it. We are ashamed of our bodies. We're ashamed of our periods, our cycles. We're taught that they just cause pain. And, you know, so there's a lot of different things there around our wombs, around our pelvic area. There's a lot of different things. There's a lot of different feelings and emotions. And again, for many women, we store our emotions, we store our memories, and there's ancestral memories as well. We store it all in our hips and our womb spaces. So there's an awful lot there. There's a lot of heavy stuff there. And then there are conditions like endometriosis, which they can be linked to certain, energetic causes, like you say, the metaphysical causes. So for example, when I had my cyst, that can be linked to suppressed emotions. It can be linked to traumas. It can be linked to certain pains. These things don't happen for no reason. They happen for a reason. I'm 100% convinced of that. So womb healing, you very much see our wombs as the center of our feminine powers, if you like. So we have three feminine energy centers. So we have our pineal gland, like that center of that knowing, that intuition. We have our heart, so that center obviously of love, of connection, and then our womb, which is the center of our power. It's the center of our creativity, our sexual energy, everything. So when very often when we're experiencing things such as feeling unconfident or feeling pain and all of these things, it can be trapped trauma in your womb. And like I said, so very often these hormonal issues, these hormonal imbalances can be connected to it. And again, if this doesn't resonate for you, that's it is okay. So only take what resonates. I always say you should only take what resonates. Nothing is ever going to fully resonate with everybody. But your womb, I say she feels a lot. I say she, our wombs have their own. I talk with my womb every day. I speak with her, but she has those, she holds those memories, she holds those emotions, she holds your journey. She's basically the record keeper of your life story. So anything which isn't processed fully, anything which is causing you pain, anything which you're holding on to, she will be holding on to. She is keeping too. So womb healing very much, it's a very loving and gentle thing to do, although it can, I'm not going to lie, it's stirred up some painful things for me when I've done it before. And actually that's what I've been going through the last few months. I'd peeled off all these layers, thought I'd done loads of healing, and actually it just wham. It was, wow, where has this even come from? Like I said, I don't think we ever fully heal. We carry it. We work through these different things and think we're okay, and then something else comes up. So it can, it's a loving way, but you help to see what's held there, what's stored there, what your body's holding still. And you know, your womb is so connected to your voice as well. So if you've ever seen the diagrams where your pelvic floor muscles, your pelvis and things, it's very similar to your vocal cords, your jaw, there's an intimate connection. So when our wombs are out of balance, very often our voices are, we find it hard to speak up. We find it hard to vocalize our anger. We find it hard to do all these things. Some women may find if they have jaw tension, they have tension in their pelvic area as well, and vice versa. So there's all these different things, and it just, like I said, it can result in endometriosis, cysts, ovarian cysts and things like that, period pains, heavy periods, PMS, all of these things, because we're not particularly in balance, because again, we've suppressed these emotions, we've suppressed these traumas, or we've been taught to ignore our bodies, taught to ignore our wombs, taught to feel shame over them, taught to think that they're dirty, disgusting, to be, you know, ignored. There's so many different things here. That's like a whole topic on itself. So it's just very much for anybody starting in their womb healing journey, just sit and breathe into your womb, because again, we've been taught to ignore our wombs. But like I said, they are the center of our feminine powers. They're our center of creativity, and they were held sacred for centuries. You know, our wombs used to be worshipped. There are many who think that our wombs were actually the Holy Grail, if you like. They are that powerful. And before the patriarchy, before many modern day religions were about, the womb was at the center of, you know, of everything. There were womb priestesses. Mary Magdalene, for example, Jesus's partner, who's now been demonized as a prostitute and all of that, she very much she embodied this womb wisdom. She embodied all of this. And so it's really, really interesting. Like I said, that basically our wombs used to be worshipped. Our wombs used to be held as sacred. They used to be held as the center of our wisdom. They used to be held as a portal to other dimensions as well. But without going off on a complete tangent, it's very much just, if you want to explore it, just breathe into your womb. So, you know, when you're doing deep belly breathing, just breathe into your womb, move that air consciously down into your womb space, and just sit with it. Just sit and breathe. Don't hold any expectations. Don't try to force anything. Just start to become conscious of that space. Notice if there's any tension or tightness, for example, in your pelvic floor muscles or in your pelvic area. Are your muscles soft and relaxed, or are they clenched and tight, which can be a common trauma thing? It was for me. My muscles were like that permanently, just tight and clenched. So just start to become more conscious and more aware of the area. And then when you feel ready to, if you feel ready to, start to get that dialogue going and just drop in with her, almost like she's a friend, if you like, and just chat with her like she's a friend. And you eventually find that things that start to bubble up. So it's almost like a really powerful intuition, really powerful wisdom starts to come up, because she holds so much knowledge and so much power, and she knows you intimately. She knows you better than anybody. And if you ever want to know the answer to any questions, for example, why am I experiencing endometriosis? Why is this pain happening? Why is this going on? What do I need to release? That area, she holds all of that wisdom. So it's just dropping in and seeing what she has to tell you, seeing what you can use and what resonates as well. At the very least, I think, even if you're not feeling, if that doesn't resonate, I think it's essentially the same as your intuition, isn't it? It's dropping in and being present in your body and understanding that you hold all those answers. You hold all your answers. You have that power. It's just recognizing that you have that power, recognizing that you have those answers, and honoring that, and honoring it enough to work with it and find that. Does that all make sense?
Sure. So I teach yoga, and when we do belly breathing, this is only something I noticed in myself more in the last few years. So I held a lot of tension, like a belly breath. I would push my belly out. I didn't let it expand out because the muscle was there. And it was, oh yeah, I'm doing belly breathing. And then I don't know what it was, but the penny just dropped. I was like, actually, I'm really tense around there. I need to soften and let that go, so that the expansion can happen rather than it being the forced push. And then when I realised that myself, and I could speak about it to people who were doing yoga with me, and they were like, so many women were really resonated with that. They were like,
we're told to hold our bellies in. We're told that our bellies meant to be flat and toned and perfect, but actually they're meant to be soft. And I say this now, I'm consciously softening my belly. It's okay if you sit and there are rolls there. It's okay if you sit and your belly's not perfectly flat. But we're taught all these things. We're taught to feel shame. So then you almost consciously hold your belly in. You're holding that tightness in your body. But actually, we're meant to soften sometimes. We're meant to relax that area. And it's very much the same in our pelvis, in our pelvic muscles. We hold on to all that trauma and that tension, and it's almost like, not even necessarily our bodies are in fight or flight, they're in freeze, and we're just constantly holding that tension, that tightness. It's about becoming conscious again, similar with the belly, and just softening that area, just letting it soften, letting it open up. But you have to have that element of safety, I think, in the body first to be able to do that. You have to feel safe to be able to do that. And let your body know that that is safe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a conversation we need to have regularly with our bodies.
Yeah, yeah.
And reassuring our nervous system, like, this is a safe place for me to be at. Like, yeah, even, like, I have to say it almost out loud to myself. I'm like, everything is okay. This, you're not in danger here.
I say it to myself. I mean, like I said, I've had a hard few months, and I do my butterfly hugs. And when I'm doing my butterfly hugs, I do say it. I say, you're safe. It's okay. You're not in danger. You're safe. And just remind myself. And again, that's okay to do. We all go through those times where we feel scared. We all go through those times where our bodies are like, but it's just sometimes just that reminder that we are safe. That it's okay to soften, that it's okay to relax and let go, can be a really powerful thing in itself.
Yeah, something I had shared on my social media, I rejoined the gym a couple of weeks ago, and before I left, I was like shallow breathing, feeling really dizzy, feeling really sick, and I was like on the verge of a panic attack. And one of the things I had to do was acknowledge that I was feeling anxious about going back to the gym, because I hadn't been in the building for more than 3 years. I hadn't done any exercise in the gym for about 4 or 5 years. And I had to like reassure myself that it was okay that I felt anxious about it, like, so I wasn't doing that false positivity of you'll be fine, this is fine. It's like, no, it's actually okay. Like, I'm taking that time to be kind to myself and saying to my partner, listen, I'm really anxious about coming back in here. And he's like, it's cool, it's okay, don't worry, no worries. So being able to verbalise it, let other people around you know, rather than putting on that brave face and just pushing through, because that's part of the suppression.
Yeah.
Of denying, this is how I'm feeling in this situation, but also being careful that you don't use that to then, or I feel really anxious, so I'm not going to do something and wallow in it and hope, like, freeze away. It's how do you acknowledge that you feel anxious about a situation when you know it's a situation that you really don't need to feel anxious about in the big scheme of the world? And how can you allow yourself to feel anxious and take support from other people so that you can move through it and get out the other side and be like, actually, that was okay.
Yeah. I think, again, it's that baby steps, isn't it? I think only you will know what the cause of that anxiety is. So I think you have to almost be curious with that anxiety. Is that anxiety happening because, you know, because your body's trying to keep you safe from a dangerous situation? Or is that anxiety happening because it's stirring up some memories or emotions that are coming to the surface? So I think it starts with you needing to be curious about those emotions and almost sitting with them. So you can ask yourself, well, where is this coming from? What is it saying? And sometimes that anxiety really is important, and that anxiety can carry really important messages that are keeping us safe. But other times, you know, it's just because our body is remembering certain things. It's remembering. So, for example, I get really anxious around confrontation because it reminds me of childhood. So it stirs up things in me. So I get into that. It almost like I go into that inner child where I become anxious, I become scared, I become really vulnerable and fragile, and my heart starts racing, my heart starts going. It doesn't matter what the confrontation is, who it's with. As soon as I think that there's going to be conflict or confrontation, that's what happens. And again, that's because my body remembers those experiences, so it's trying to keep me safe. Obviously, it's safe for me now. It's safe for me as an adult, but it's still trying to remember that. So for me, again, it's just I have to become aware of why my body's doing these things before I can start to speak with it and communicate with it that it's safe and okay. So I think the first step, like I say, the most important thing is to be curious. Why are you feeling anxious? Where are these things coming from? And for some people, they can sit there and, you know, drop down into their bodies or drop down into their wombs, drop down into whatever, and get those answers. Other people, it might be you need to meditate, for example, or go out into nature or stillness, find that stillness, because if you're always being busy, you can't find those answers. Or for other people, it might be drawing, painting, writing, journaling, you know, so it's just finding ways that you can access that information, finding ways that should work for you, because we're all different. We all need different things. So for me, I journal or I free write, just ask myself a question and just write without thought. And other times I drop down into my womb, like I say, and just have that conversation. And then I start to recognize things. Okay, that's why this is happening. That's why I'm feeling anxious. And it's only then that I can start to rationalize it, if you like, and talk to myself and help to create that safety in the body. But yeah, like, that was a long-winded way of saying be curious about where it's coming from.
That was beautiful. Thank you so much. Yeah. Before we wrap up, is there anything else you wanted to talk about or say? Or
not particularly. I just came to this just to chat. I enjoy chatting with people. I love chatting with people. So I've just really loved chatting with you and getting to know you and listening to the parts of your story as well. I think it's one of my favorite things to just listen to other women, chat with other women, share with other women, because I think it's beautiful. I think it's really amazing. So I feel grateful. So thank you. I really enjoyed it. But yeah, if there's anything you wanted to add, if there's anything that's not been covered, feel free to say it.
At this time, I think we've covered a lot.
Yeah.
People will be like, oh, probably I've got a list of things. I'm like, oh, oh, let's do that, let's do that. Slowly, baby steps at a nice gentle pace.
These things go where it's meant to. But if anybody has questions or anything like that about hormones or working with their hormones or particular issues, then they're always free to message me. I'm always here. Say that again, sorry, it broke up a bit.
Place for people to find you.
Yeah, so feel free to share my email address. You've got my email address, or they can find me, The Hormone Goddess, on Instagram as well. I'm not always brilliant at replying to direct messages, but I do get back to people eventually. I'm usually better on email than I am on direct messages. I get overwhelmed by messages sometimes. I'm like, oh, I don't know where to start.
I'll put that information into the show notes of this, so wherever people are watching this on YouTube or Spotify or Apple or wherever, it will be in the description of how to your Instagram handle and your email address for people to reach out to you. So
I'm always happy to listen. So
thank you so much. Thank you
for asking me. And like, honestly, like I said, your introduction is just, you've like made my week. So thank you. I've enjoyed getting to know you. So
I've enjoyed getting to know you as well. And anybody listening to this, definitely, if you're on Instagram, go over to The Hormone Goddess and feel healed and nourished and comforted, because you share amazing recipes as well as wisdom and insights to hormone healing, how to work with your hormones, and just how we move forward as our powerful women that we are. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. I've loved every minute. So thank you.
My pleasure.